tenderness this morning. Tenderness in our relationship with God. How does that play into your own life? How do you find it in your relationship with God? Or does it seem like that's something, well, God is there and God is God, and I rarely think of being tender toward Him. I could easily see how sometimes we could get that perspective. But if you look into the New Testament, you find a fascinating picture of tenderness. It was in our reading for this past week. But you also see in the Old Testament this concept of God wanting us to have tender hearts. He calls it a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. And there's something that is so liberating about this concept of tenderness with God, to realize that we can actually come into this place with Him. Think about the picture of Jesus with the children in your mind. You know, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them, right? That's God's tenderness to children, but is that not God's heart toward us? Is that not what the cross shows us? And Jesus setting His face toward Jerusalem, as resolute as that is, shows us God's tender heart. Our scripture this morning is in the 26th chapter of Matthew, and it's a familiar one. The same thing seems to have happened more than once. This same story appears in Matthew, Mark, and John, but it happens in a different house at another time in Luke chapter 7. And what I'm talking about is Jesus being anointed with oil. So the reason why this matters is because it is about an absolutely beautiful thing. So let's go there. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 26. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him with an alabaster jar of a very expensive perfume. First of all, let's just stop right there. Jesus is in the home of Simon the leper. How does that work? Well, Jesus healed him. A woman came to Him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on His head as He was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Okay, those words. Just those words. She has done a beautiful thing. Think about Jesus saying that about you. I mean, wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't it be good to do a beautiful thing for Jesus? What does that look like? I mean, I clearly don't have hair to wipe His feet with. But is there a way? I think her actions show us, her heart shows us. But before we go there, just a little more on these stories. Both times, the Luke stories and the Matthew, Mark, and John stories happen in Bethany. One is at the home of a Pharisee, and the other is at the home of Simon the leper. So Matthew, Mark, and John tell us about Mary of Bethany at Simon the leper's home. And Luke tells us about the incident at the Pharisee's house, with another woman who, he says, lived a sinful life. That's all he says. So we often tend to think, well, this was Mary Magdalene. But Mary of Bethany was not Mary Magdalene. The other woman at the Pharisee's house? Well, we don't know. But what's interesting is that in both instances, Jesus defends the woman who is anointing him. And by the way, did you know that the name Christ means the anointed one? I find that intriguing. And of course, kings were anointed before their coronation. I think all of that plays a role here. So let's go back to those words again. She has done a beautiful thing to me. What does that look like? How could I do that? You know, I mean, just think about this. Here our Creator has so arranged things that you and I, who are but dust and ashes, and that's the meaning of ashes on the forehead on Ash Wednesday, right? And the terms in Hebrew, by the way, for dust and ashes, the words are very similar. But you and I, being who and what we are, yet made in the image of God, we can actually do something that moves God. We can actually bless God. And He wants us to. And all of this is part of what it means to be in the sweetness of a relationship with Him. So first, let's just break it down. I'm going to give you some points. I usually don't do point sermons, but I'll do it today. Doing a beautiful thing makes much of Jesus and less of ourselves. Take a look at the painting by James Tissot, which is on the front of the bulletin. It's about the Luke incident, and look at the body language. Just look, don't look at the woman yet. Look at the body language. Take a close look around where Jesus is sitting. Do you see the sideways glances? Do you see the conversations, the arrogant looks. That's what Jesus is against. Now look at the woman's body language. What do you see there? She's humble. She's loving. Matthew tells us Mary anointed Jesus' head, but in both instances, they were selfless acts. Here the woman is at Jesus' feet. By the way, the title of this painting is The Oil of the Magdalene, but we don't know if it was Mary or Mary Magdalene because Luke doesn't name her. So, you know, the oil used, though, is very expensive that Jesus is anointed with. And that means the second part, and that is, doing a beautiful thing means giving God our best. What did the disciples say? Verse 8, why this waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Now, this is interesting because, now, of course, one of the gospel writers says, well, that was Judas' perspective and he was a thief. But notice the comment. It shows you that the disciples were actually listening. This is one of those instances where they were. Why? Go to Matthew 25, where Jesus says, whatever you did to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So Jesus is talking about caring for the poor in the chapter right before this happens. But he doesn't deny the extravagance of the woman on his behalf. And that's important. Ben Patterson commented on this. Why did he so willingly, even enthusiastically, accept for himself what could have been given to the poor? It is because the adoration of God is supreme and leads to every other kind of love. There can be good works without love, but never love for God without good works. Without love for God, even the best works will sputter and die. You know how that is, right? When you go to God and when you're praying about something, so often something else comes to mind. So often there may be a need that comes to mind, or there may be something about, you know, a situation that you're praying about where you haven't been as loving as you could be, and then suddenly God gently shows you that through His Spirit. Or maybe you need to be firmer in a particular area, and God shows you that. But loving God comes first, and when we do that, He directs us in how to love our neighbor as well. We give God our best then when we start our day with Him and give Him first out of the blessings that He has so richly and faithfully poured into us. And I find that the more we're thankful to Him for those blessings, the more we recognize the blessings that we have, right? That process of just taking a moment to say, thank you, God, for a hot cup of coffee in the morning. You know, suddenly leads you to a lot of other places. So, you know, giving God our best doesn't have to be that grandiose thing that we think, oh, I could never do that sort of. It just has to do with giving God ourselves. It's like starting the day with, here I am, what do you want your servant to do today? Help me. Show me. Lead me in this. Third point, doing a beautiful thing means that we always remember what Jesus has done for us. So, again, let's go back to the first point. Doing a beautiful thing makes much of Jesus, less of ourselves. Secondly, it means giving Him our best. In other words, giving Him ourselves. You know? And then thirdly, remembering who He is and what He's done. Jesus tells them that Mary anointed Him for the funeral. And how is that? I mean, doesn't this just show you yet again that women are smarter than men? The disciples missed it, but Mary got it? How is that? How did she get it? Well, remember that conversation? Lord, tell her to get up and help me. Martha, Martha, you are worried and concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Mary loved being at the feet of Jesus, right? Mary loved being close to Jesus. There was a tenderness there. She just loved Him. And I think because of that, you know, God exists outside of time, and sometimes C.S. Lewis wrote that God is able to take from the future and put it into our minds about what is going to happen. Put it into our minds in the present. And I think that's what happened here. Somehow Mary knew. She knew what was coming, and she anoints Jesus. I mean, Peter's in denial. You know? But Mary sees it coming. And I would just submit to you that during these 40 days of Lent, we have the opportunity to do the same. You know, 40 days in Scripture always means something important. Or just the number 40, you know. For example, the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. Noah was in the ark 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And this season is set apart for us to just focus on Jesus. You know, to consider him, who he is, what he did, his perfect sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and hopefully to do it in such a way that it's really personal. You know, where you and I are honest to God and realizing he did this for me in my brokenness. That's part of what happens when we draw near to him. He does show us our brokenness, but he also shows us how much he loves us in that. And because he loves me like that, how can I not love him back? Because if he loves me in the tenderest places, right? Those places that, you know, maybe I could talk about it with you, or maybe I couldn't, or maybe I'd have to really know you well and trust you to share, you know, that thing. We all have those places. But the fact is that we can go there with God because that is his heart. And yet he's God. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, the mind-blowing thing about Jesus, this Emmanuel, God with us concept. This is not Allah, who maybe, if you do everything right and keep to your five pillars, maybe he'll decide you're good enough for paradise. Uh-uh. This is one who meets you and says, I'm doing for you what you can't do for yourself. So follow me. Love me. And I think it's a good thing to take the time in these days before Easter to go into your room, to close the door, to lay down flat on your bed or get down on your knees, even if it hurts. And just make much of Jesus. Just remembering who he is, what he's done. We can love him for that. And we can make more of him and less of ourselves. And he will help us, especially as we ask him, help me to just love you from the heart. And remember something else that Jesus said, that time with him is precious. And sure, in that moment, he was talking about the physical time that he was there. But remember, he also said, it's better for you that I go away. Because, basically, if I go away, the Spirit will come to you. So, as you and I meet with him, And sure, it's going to be awkward because it's like we run out of words sometimes when we pray or we don't know what to say. But he understands that. And it's not about the words to begin with. It's just a matter of taking our hearts and giving them to him. And I think as we do that, we do what this woman did. We do a beautiful thing. I think God loves that. I think that's why Jesus came. And I think in that place of worship, there is something so precious. And it's not just my thinking that. Read the Revelation. What is it that God keeps before him in golden bowls? Revelation 5:8. Prayers of the saints. Why would he keep it in golden bowls? It's worth more than the content even of the bowls. It's precious. Your prayers. Your love. A life lived in love for him. With him. That's a beautiful thing. And he can help us live it. May we pray. Lord, help us in this to really bring something to you that will touch your heart. Help us to give of ourselves that way. Lord, thank you that you love us. And you loved us first. So help us to respond to you with that kind of love. Father, help us to leave our sins behind, knowing that you set us free from them through your death on the cross. Help us to come to you, not only asking forgiveness, but loving you back for it and serving you for it. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Abba, Father, thank you for your Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus with us, thank you. Know that he waits to meet you, dear one, as you pray. So stay close. Stay close. And he will show you something beautiful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
that's a good prayer. Lord, I want to do something beautiful for you. And I want to be something beautiful for you. And again, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. I think some of the things that God thinks are most beautiful are the simplest and the smallest of things. And it's the simplest of surrenders in a challenging place, or just a kind word. You know, that doing something for Jesus is an act of service to Him. Just doing it for Him. That's a beautiful thing. And we can do that. So Father, help us in this. Bless us to do this very thing. So to live, so to love. As we pray, in the beautiful name of our Savior, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.